About relationship is not a religion. If you come to church for a religion, you come to a wrong place here. That's why we give freedom to the Holy Spirit to move. God can touch anyone. God can do whatever He wants because it's about relationship. It's not about singing a few songs and go home and just do some religious thing. It's about relationship. The cross has this kind of picture. Relationship with God, love your God with all your heart, and love your neighbor as yourself. So, how many people believe that relationship is not always easy? How many people believe that relationship is not always a honeymoon period? There are ups time and down time. We learned from last Sunday. And we learned about three diseases that cause, that kill joy in relationship. I'm reviewing from last Sunday right now. If you missed last Sunday, you can get the CD from our sermon last Sunday. Last Sunday, I talked about three diseases that kill the joy of relationship. I don't want anyone to kill the joy of my relationship with my wife. I don't want anything to kill the joy of my relationship with my friends in the church. What kills the joy? Number one, we learn that selfishness kills the joy. Selfishness say, I want what I want, you want what you want, and we cannot get along. That's selfishness. And every time you focus on your right and your self, your self-centered. You are self-centered. Then you will never have be able to compliment other people. You will not be able to get along with other people because people are going to come and contradict to you all the time. Amen. I remember I give the example of taking a picture from a Polaroid camera. And I asked the congregation, when I pull the picture out, who in the picture you look first? You. And if you, Victor say Masako. And if that picture, the whole picture, if you look bad in the picture, the whole picture is bad to your eyes. No matter what other people look like. But if you look good in that picture, that picture is good. No matter what you look like. Is that right? So, we are all selfish in nature. That's why we need Jesus to come in, to get rid, and to take away that nature of selfishness. The second disease that kill people, kill the joy of relationship. Number two is resentment. Resentment says, I will not forgive you. How many people agree with me that every relationship has some hurts, has some misunderstanding? Amen. We always hurt one another. We always have some conflicts and some inconsiderate remarks. Sometimes I say things that not very sensitive to my wife. So I have to repent. Amen. So we all have inconsiderate remarks and cause hurts in the heart. So that's why we need to always forgive. The Bible says, forgive others as God forgive you. The third one that cause the destruction of joy in relationship is fear. Fear will say like this, I will never trust you. I will never open my life to you. Don't come close to me. I put the wall up. I put the mask on. You will never know who I am. I don't want you to know about my life, and I don't want to be close to you. Fear of rejection. Fear of being less important than other people. Fear of other people being better than you. So these are not good things. They are the diseases that destroy relationship between husband and wife, between friend in the church, between co-workers at the office. Last Sunday, we learned the secret of joy. The first, and we say that in order to resolve the problem, we need to have the right focus or perspective. How many people know that perspective of life really dictate how you live? Amen? Perspective of life dictate how you live. I give example last night that my perspective of life is this, that the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is the most important institution in the world. Therefore, I and my wife live fully, dedicate our life to the local church. Because we believe that the only institution that can last for eternity is the church. The government going to be gone. The workplace going to be gone when Jesus come back. The family institution going to be gone. Everything going to be gone except the church, except the believers. So we pour out our life to live for the church. Why? Because our perspective is that way. Amen. So perspective is what? It's the way you look at things. The way you look at your relationship. If your perspective is that my wife come here to do the work, housework for me, she will, just bless my physical need. And she's going to do this and that for me. Then your relationship going to be in trouble. Because that is your perspective. But last Sunday we talked about the first perspective. And today we're going to talk too. Okay. What the first perspective we talked last Sunday, we mentioned last Sunday is this. Focus on giving rather than receiving. Let's say at the same time. I focus on giving rather than receiving. Acts chapter 20 verse 35, I have shown you in every way by laboring like this, that you must support the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Giving is a sign of love. You can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. So when you start to turn your focus out of yourself, you start to focus on other people, you begin to think, what is the best for their life? What can I do? What can I give to make my wife better? What can I do to make my husband better? What can I give to my, what kind of service I can give to my wife and my husband? Amen. You remember many years ago in our church, we learned about five languages of love. If you love, you give five things. Each of us have different five languages. Some of you, the language of love is gift giving. I know that my kids have that language of love. Every time I buy gift for them, they're happy. And my kids say, amen. Hallelujah. That is the language of love. Some of us, the language of love is physical touch. When you touch that person physically, they feel love. You give your time to do physical touch. You shake hands, you hug, you show love, you tap on the shoulder. You are willing to give your physical life to touch other people. Some of us have the language of love called words of encouragement. You give the words of encouragement to people. You don't email to people, you don't call people and give the words of, you know, make people feel bad. You give, you say, oh, you're awesome. You're going to be fine. God loves you. You're going to be the top, not the tail. God going to bless you. You know, you give word of encouragement. Some of us need the word of encouragement. I want to tell you my body, my love language is word of encouragement. Amen. I like gift too, but word of encouragement is the best for me. And Dan know very well. another language of love that people have is quality time. You give quality time to people. Amen. Sometimes, you know, as a pastor, I don't need to do anything much. I just sit there in front of people and let them talk. And have quality time with people. Just let people talk and just listen. And they say, amen. Oh, thank God. Oh, yes, good, good, good. God loves you. That's it. I give quality time. You know, that is very important. We need to give quality time to people. Amen. Giving rather than receiving. Amen. Praise the Lord. So today, we're going to learn the second key. The second focus. Focus on healing rather than hurting. Let's say at the same time. I focus on healing rather than hurting. You know, I want to tell you the truth. In every single relationship, you are going to be hurt. Some way, somehow. Somebody gonna hurt your feeling. Your wife may not do what you expect. You think I marry a perfect woman. But after a few weeks, you find out that your wife is not a perfect woman. She makes mistakes. Amen. She doesn't do what you expect. You are hurt. Some misunderstanding. You say something wrong. Cause misunderstanding. One time I tell God, that God, have mercy on me. Why? You put me to be a pastor of an international church. It's so hard. Because people speak different languages. They have different cultures. They misunderstand each other many times because of the different culture. Some people come with different expectations, different backgrounds. The way you raise up in your house is different. Some of you, your mother teach you that in order to get the toothpaste out of the tube, you need to squeeze at the bottom. But some of you squeeze at the top. So your husband squeezes from the top, you come back, you squeeze from the bottom, and you get discouraged. You get conflict in your house all the time. Somebody laugh, must be the same thing happened to your house. Amen. Some of you like to eat sushi. But some of you like to eat steak. You have conflict. You have misunderstanding. Amen. And when those hurt happen in you, you lose your joy in relationship. Amen. Our human nature is this. Is that we will hold on to the hurt. And we not only hold on to the hurt, we rehearse. How many people understand the word rehearse? Repeating. Keep thinking. Keep doing it. Keep thinking about it. We rehearse. That day, she said like that to me. That day, he hurt my feeling. He did that in 1920. But you still rehearse in year 2004. You still thinking and thinking. Is the hurt was done one time in 1920. But you still thinking from 1920 to year 2004. And you know who get into trouble? Not the person who hurt you, but you yourself. Don't keep rehearsing the hurt. Amen. Get rid of them. They hurt you one time, you rehearse it about 100 times. Forget about it. Forgive. Focus on healing. Focus on making reconciliation. Focus on bringing together the joy, the love back again. Don't rehearsing the hurt. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 3 verse 13, be gentle and ready to forgive. Never hold grudges. Everyone say, never hold grudges. Remember the Lord forgave you. So you must forgive others. Amen. You know, sometimes some hurt are very, very, very childish. Just because somebody walk like this. So you don't like them. I notice in the church sometimes somebody complain to me, I don't like that guy. Why? Oh, he walk like this. Oh. And that the way they walk hurt you already. Please stop being childish. Amen. That is not right. We need to love. Our job is to love and to forgive, not to get mad at people. There is no benefit. There is no value in rehearsing the pain and the hurts. Please, brother and sister, for your own sake, quit rehearsing your pain. Quit rehearsing your hurts. Amen. Romans chapter 5 verses 3 to 4. The Bible say, I can read from two versions. And not only that, we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. In another version say, we can be full of joy here and now. Let's say at the same time, here and now. Yeah. Not in the sweet pie in the sky. Now we can have joy on earth. Even in our trials and troubles, these very things will give us patient endurance. This in turn will develop a mature character. Amen. Amen. Many of us, the answer to your life is to grow up. Stop being a baby. Amen. Some of us may be 55 years old, but we still immature and baby. We need to grow up. Amen. You see from the scripture here that if you realize one thing, every hurt, every trial, every tribulation, every hardship, God used it for good of your life. To do what? To build your character. Every time somebody hurt your feeling, anytime you face difficulties in relationship, you should say, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. I'm gonna get promotion. I'm gonna be promoted. I will go to the next level of my maturity. I'm going to respond to this situation in a godly, a loving way. Every difficulty in your life, in any relationship, has a positive purpose. And that positive purpose, I tell you right now, God is not after your comfortable life. God is after your character. Amen. God cares for your comfort, but his primary purpose is not to make you comfort. Sometimes he let the fire come to burn you a little bit, so that you can grow in your character. Life is a series of problem solving. If you say, God, when the problem going to stop in my life, when the problem relationship going to stop, I tell you, when it stops, when your heart stops beating, when you die. As long as you live in this body, you're going to face problem in any relationship. Yeah. Amen. It's normal. And whenever problem in relationship come, you understand, I'm going to focus on healing. I'm going to focus on growing. I'm going to focus on moving to the next level from glory to glory. I'm going to become stronger. I'm going to be more mature this time. I'm going to come out from childish behavior and the wrong attitude. I'm going to grow. Amen. Problem in your life is a test from God for your eternal character. It's a trial. It's a test. It's something going to help you to grow. You must learn to have joy even in the midst of problems and relationship issue. Amen. Have joy regardless of relationship problems. Amen. Healing, not hurting. Not focus on the hurt, but focus on God's purpose and healing in your life. Amen. How many people say, from now on, I will focus on God's purpose in my life? That I will grow more instead of focus on people hurt me. Amen. In fact, how many people want more anointing? You know, I want more anointing. This is my goal. I want more anointing to the point that one day, I just look at the eyes of my patient and they get healed. I want anointing to the point that one day my shadow fall on the sick and they shall recover. I want more anointing. But you know, there is a price to pay for the anointing. Why Joseph became the prime minister of Egypt? He paid the price. He got hurt and hurt and hurt and hurt, forgotten, rejected, and everything. Joseph passed all these tests. And eventually he got the anointing. He became the prime minister of Egypt. I believe that all the hurt that God allowed to happen in your life, so that you can die to your flesh, and your flesh will become ready to receive the miracle power, miracle working power of God. I read the book from A.A. Allen. A.A. Allen, how many people know A.A. Allen? This man, you know, the eye see, the paralyzed walk. He has much, God anoint him with miracle working power. That's my goal. One day I like to be like Jesus. Jesus said, the work that I do, you shall do also, and greater work than this you shall do. I'm going to do greater work than Jesus, my goal. It doesn't mean I do better than him, but I'm going to do greater work, because that's what he said. But in order to do that, I need to die to my flesh. I need to decrease. I need to learn how to forgive when people hurt me. I need to learn how to love no matter what. I need to learn how to heal, not hurt. Amen? Amen. It's up to you. It's your decision. It's my decision that I want more anointing. Amen. So every difficulty, every hurt that comes to your life is for your own sake, that you will be the next step for more anointing. It's for your sake. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Number three, last one. Focus on God's power rather than my problems. Amen. Let's say at the same time, I focus on God's power rather than my problems. Amen. Psalm chapter 62 verse 8 say, trust in him all at all times. You people, pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for you. You need to understand that God is in control. God can repair the unrepairable. God can control the uncontrollable. He can help you where there is no hope. There is no word hopeless in the kingdom of God. There is always hope in the kingdom of God, because God can do anything. God can change and resurrect. God, if God can resurrect Jesus Christ from the dead, He can resurrect any dead relationship. Amen.
Amen.
When I started the church a long time ago, the devil attacked me so bad. He wanted me to stop. I remember even Pastor Da saw, you know, one day, we just started the church the first few weeks. She has a vision that she was standing in front of a mirror and combing her hair. And in that vision, she saw a woman with a black cloth, long hair. And that woman talked to her vividly in her vision. Dream. And that woman said, "I don't like you start the church here. I'm going to do everything to stop you from starting the church." You know who we're talking about here? The devil. So the devil said, "I'm going to stop you from building this church." Pastor Da said, "In the name of Jesus, go away right now." And that person disappeared from the mirror. After that, we got attacked right and left. In the first 4 to 5 years of our church, part of it because of my weakness, because of my immaturity, because of my sin and my insensitivity to my wife, I hurt her feeling all the time. 2 jobs, neurosurgery resident, on call 360 something days a year, and also running the church. So I was not sensitive to her. Our relationship was really in jeopardy. We were at the verge of divorce, even though the whole church did not know, because I never shared with anyone. We were in trouble in relationship, but I never forget that I don't see the way out, because the hurt, the broken relationship was so bad. The only thing I could do is to run to God. I never forgot that one day I ran to the altar and kneeled down and said, "God, this is in a pastoral meeting." I kneeled down and said, "God, if you want me to continue the church, you need to save my family. I mean, you need to save our relationship." Right after that prayer, I focused on the power of God. A year later, things turned around supernaturally. After that, our relationship changed. Da began to, you know, ease up and say, "Okay, I changed first. Not Da changed first. I began to change. God began to work in our relationship. And now we have a very happy family. We never fight for a long time. We never quarrel. I'm talking about serious fight. We have some arguments sometimes. That's normal. But we never have a serious fight to the point that I have to drive my car out of the house and say, "I'm going to divorce you," and all this bam, bam, bam. Never happened for a long time.
Amen.
God is our life giver. God resurrect our marriage. Amen. Our God is a God of the second chance. Our God is a God of the third chance. Our God is a God of the fourth chance. Our God is a God of the 100th chance. He can rebuild the trust. He can get rid of your fear. He can get rid of your selfishness. Amen. He can get rid of your resentment. He can repair your relationship. You just have to focus on God's power. Don't focus on the problem. You need to come to God and trust Him. The Bible says in Psalm chapter 56 verse 3, "Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you." This is a great example in the Bible, is when Paul and Silas were in jail. You know, jail at that time is not like jail in Seattle. Jail in Seattle is nothing. They have good food. Walk around.
Amen.
Amen. People can call in. Jail at the time of Paul was dark, dungeon, cold, you know. But look what happened in jail. This is what Paul did. Look at Acts chapter 16, 23 to 25. Paul, instead of focusing on the chain in his hand, the shackle in his feet, and the stripe on his back. He did not focus on the problem. What did he do? Acts chapter 16, 23 to 25. And when they had laid many stripes on them, means Paul and Silas, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. Oh, this is not fun. But at midnight. Do you have a midnight hour of your life? Terrible time of your life? Paul and Silas were praying, singing hymns to God. Amen. The joy of the Lord is our strength. He's singing. I trade my sorrow with the joy of the Lord. He was singing in jail. And the prisoners were listening to them. And you know what happened? The chain came loose. The stock broke out. And the door of the prison flew open. Why? Because he didn't focus. You know, Paul wrote the letter to the church in Philippi. Why he was in jail. And this is what he wrote. Why he's in jail. In the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 4 verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. The book of Philippians is a book of joy. He said the word joy and rejoice 19 times in 4 chapters. And he was writing that book in jail. Can you imagine how many people can write 19 times of the word joy in jail? Many of you may pity me. Poor me. They forget about me. God doesn't love me anymore. But Paul didn't do that. Paul singing hymns. He rejoiced in the Lord. He even said, tell people outside the jail, rejoice in the Lord your God. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Why we can have joy when we focus on God? I want to tell you right now. Number one, I can rejoice in spite of my circumstances because God is with me. Isaiah 43 verse 2, the Bible says, when you pass through deep waters, I will be with you. Your troubles will not overwhelm you. When you pass through the fire, you will not be burned. The hard trials that come will not hurt you. For I am the Lord your God. The fact is this, no matter what you are going through right now, you are not going through it alone. God, if you have Jesus in your life, God is with you. It cannot overwhelm you if you focus on the Lord. And God wants to say to each of you this morning, God is with you right now. You can focus on Him. You can draw His power, you can draw and depend on His grace in the time of difficulties. The Bible says in Psalm chapter 16 verse 11, you will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. A lot of people were laughing a while ago during the worship time. Why? Because we were full of joy in the presence of God. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. In the presence of God. Thank God for revival. You know, I want to tell you, I came from a Buddhist background. I came the background, can I share quickly here? I came from the background that I faced and I experienced demons and evil spirit because I worship false gods. And when I was young, one time, I don't know if that was there or not. One time, the evil spirit came upon me, and I was able to walk around the house without opening my eyes. And I can point to things. I have that experience. I know that the spiritual world is so real. Then I came to know Jesus Christ in the evangelical church. They talk about the Holy Spirit. I know that Jesus came into my life, but I feel nothing. And I wonder why I can feel evil spirit, but I feel nothing about God. I was in evangelical church. And later on I find out, oh, God is everywhere. But the tangible presence of God is not everywhere. So I just tag along with evangelical church for a while. Then one day in 1983, I went to the doctor meeting in Thailand. And this preacher came from England. He lay hand. He said, whoever want to serve God, come here. I walk up and say, I want to give my life to God. He lay hand on me. Suddenly, I feel the tangible presence of God. I feel like a big waterfall, like electricity, came from the top of my head down to the bottom of my heart. Suddenly, in that minute, I was speaking in tongues. And I was shaking with the electricity of God. I was speaking in tongues and crying. And I know, ooh, God is bigger than evil spirit now. I can feel the tangible presence of God. I was still in the Baptist church. The pastor was not very happy that I speak in tongues. I told an American missionary from Baptist church, say, now I speak in tongues. You say, oh, what? Don't say anything. Don't tell anyone, okay? Don't tell anyone. I just keep my mouth shut. I obey my pastor. And then, thank God, God did not stop at only speaking in tongues. Because the Bible says God is going to give us the baptism not only with the Holy Spirit, but with fire. Amen. Then I feel like this is not enough. Not only just speaking in tongues, I need the tangible presence of God so I can have joy all the day of my life. Because the Bible says, in your presence is fullness of joy. In 1997, I heard about revival in Portland. I drove to Portland with my wife and my mom, and I said, this time I'm going to believe in the upper room experience, that people in the upper room get touched by God, and they will speak in tongues, they got drunk, they laugh, they're like drunk people. I want the fullness. I don't want just to have a little bit of water in the cup. I want the water to come, the presence of God come and overflow out of my life like that. You know, when you get drunk with wine, what happens? You get overwhelmed by alcohol. When you get drunk by the Holy Spirit, you get overwhelmed by the Holy Spirit. So that day, when the pastor, when the evangelist say, any pastor, I'm going to call pastor first. Any pastor want to be overwhelmed by the Spirit of God came out here. I tell you, I run about 120 miles an hour. I was the third person, even though I was smaller than American pastor. I was standing the third person in a row. I pulled out the hand of my wife and ran to the front and say, I need the presence of God. I need the tangible presence of God. I'm hungry for God. Not only just speaking in tongues, I want to have upper room experience. Because God promised that in the end time, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, the young and the old, and the woman and the man, all everyone. Say, I am a candidate. I'm young. I'm still young. So I'm old too, in some of your eyes. So I walk out, the pastor, the evangelist came by, lay hand on people. Fire, fire, come to me, fire. I feel the surge of power came to my body. I fell under the power and I began to laugh and get drunk like a drunk man for almost half an hour. My wife was shocked. So what happened to this guy? He became drunk. I was drunk in the Holy Ghost. And since that day on, I have never been the same. And I still get drunk sometimes in my car, sometimes in my dining table. Sometimes I was eating dinner with my wife and suddenly Holy Spirit came upon me and got drunk. And I just laughed and I could not finish my dinner. Because the outpouring of the Holy Spirit has not stopped yet. Still, God still pour His Spirit on people to today. It's not only for the past, it's for today. Amen. So, if you want to have joy, you need to be filled with the presence and tangible presence of God. Amen. Don't stop at only salvation. Don't stop at speaking in tongues. Get into the fire of God. Get into the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. How many people experience the touch of God and you get drunk before? Amen. Number two, I can be joyful because God has a plan for me. The Bible says in Psalm chapter 50 verse 15, I want you to trust me in your times of trouble so I can rescue you and you can give me glory. You need to understand that God knows everything that happened to your life. Not even 1 second in your life that God doesn't know. He allows things to happen. He knows everything. I tell you, sometimes for you, it's like, oops, surprise. You know, that word, the nurse in the OR hated. Sometimes I perform surgery and I say, oops. Everybody say, what happened? You cut the nerve? I say, no. I just say, oops. I just want to test that you are awake or not. The word oops. Something surprised. Something out of your control. Is that right? For you, you may say oops, but God never say oops. God know everything. But you know what? God allowed those things to happen so that you can be a vessel of glory. His purpose for your life is that you will give glory to God.
Amen.
Amen. So whatever happened to you, remember that the outcome, the end result, if you respond in the right way, God gonna get glory from you. You're gonna be a vessel of glory. Trust Him. Don't complain. Rejoice. You don't see the end yet, but the end gonna be the glory of God.
Amen.
Amen. Number three, number one, I can rejoice because the presence of God is with me. And I don't want our church to stay at the level of just salvation. I don't want our church to stay at the level of speaking in tongue. I want our church to be in revival, in the constant outpouring of the former rain and the latter rain all the time. Amen. Number three, I can rejoice. I can rejoice because God will help me. Everyone say, God will help me. Psalm chapter 43, verse 5. Why be so gloomy and discouraged? Trust in God. Then I shall praise Him for His wondrous help. He will make me smile again.
Amen.
Have you lost your joy? God say, I can help you. God help my relationship. Thank God, I'm still in marriage. My kids still with dad and mom. The devil's plan was destroyed. He cannot split Pastor Lau and Pastor Da. We still serve God together. You know what? Who helped me? My God. My God helped me to restore my relationship with my wife. God help us. Amen. So whenever you face problem in the relationship, you can cry now to God. And you can have joy. I want to end this sermon by saying this. Joy is not of you. Joy is of God. The Bible said that the kingdom of God is not of eating and drinking, but is of the righteousness, peace, and joy of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Joy belongs to God, not to you. How many people know that in the book of Psalms, the Bible says God laughs on His throne? A lot of us think about God like this. God is a kind of very old, long beard, with arthritis. Walk with the back pain. My God. He has a lot of heart problem. He has his legs swollen. He has cardiac, you know, arrhythmia. And he also had a heart failure. So he sit on the throne and cry. No, no, no. Our God is powerful. He sit on the throne. And when he look at the problem in your life, he say, ha, 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 piece of cake. He look at the problem in your life, ha, 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 piece of cake.
That's right.
He never, you know, be discouraged. Our God never get discouraged. Our God is a God of power, God of faith. The fruit of the Holy Spirit is joy. You cannot manufacture joy. The only way you can have joy in your relationship is to have Jesus Christ in your heart. And keep increasing by keep being filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. You can have joy. Thank God that God saved the marriage of Victor and Masako. The day they walk into our church, they already get ready to divorce. Victor already moved to apartment. Masako stay in her house and they get ready to split up. But as they press into the revival, press into the joy of God, press into the Holy Spirit now, they serve God together, they run the care group together at their home, God saved their marriage. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. The only person that can give you joy is the Lord Jesus Christ by His Holy Spirit. That's why, number one, step one, you need to have Jesus in your life.
Amen. Amen.
Step two, if you already have Jesus, some of you already have Jesus, you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You need to yield to the Holy Spirit. You need to be hungry for the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is the one who can give you joy. Amen.
Amen.
This morning, anyone who doesn't have Jesus in your heart yet, I'd like to ask you to invite Jesus to come into your heart so that you can start at least ABC, the beginning, to have Jesus in your heart. Amen. If you never in your life invite, you may know about Jesus, you may gone to church before, but you never invite Jesus into your heart, personal invitation. This morning, I would like to encourage you to have a personal invitation to Jesus. Say, Jesus, I want you to come into my life. If you are those people, can you please raise your hand and say, God, today I would like to invite Jesus. Raise your hand. Raise your hand. Invite Jesus into your life. Amen. Can you please stand up? Those who raise your hand, stand up. I will pray for you quickly here. Stand up. Those who raise your hand, stand up. Hallelujah. I'm going to pray for you. Pray with you. Hallelujah. Stand up. Anyone else? Okay, just follow my prayer. Follow my prayer, okay? Stand up. Anyone else want to receive Jesus into your life? Stand up. Hallelujah. Stand up. Hallelujah. Follow my prayer. Just follow. I'm going to say one sentence at a time. Okay? Everyone else, just close your eyes and ask God to change the heart and heal your relationship. Follow my prayer. Father in heaven, I admit, Lord, that I am a sinner. I need your forgiveness. Forgive my sin, Lord. You are my creator. I believe in my heart and confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. He was raised from the dead on the third day. Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, come into my life right now. Become my God. Give me abundant life. I turn away from my sins and give my life to serve you. I denounce the power of darkness. I denounce Satan and sin in my life. Now I totally belong to God. I give my body, my soul and my spirit to God. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's give hand to these people. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 God can give us joy. Amen. How many people want to have more joy of the Holy Spirit? If you look at my picture many years ago, you will say that an elephant looked better than me because I never smiled. I never smiled. I began to smile after I came to know Jesus because I have joy in my heart. But sometimes the joy is unspeakable and overflowing to the point that you have a laughter. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to demonstrate to you how the Holy Spirit can give people laughter. Amen. Can I demonstrate quickly? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Ni and Cha, come out here. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. That's me. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, You know, when we receive from God, there are two parts, the giver part and the receiving part. I call these two persons because they are very, very sensitive to receive from God. Amen. Receive. I can lay hand on you for 1,000 years, but if you don't receive, you don't get anything. So they're going to receive. Are you ready to receive? Amen. Hallelujah. Fire. Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Joy and Nisa, come out here. You know, normally Thai people don't laugh like this. Maybe we should get Japanese too, so we can prove the point. How about you, me? Japanese usually don't laugh. Close your eyes. I pray the anointing is upon this cloth and touch you in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. You may come down here. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Usually Chinese doesn't laugh either. How about... Yao? In Jesus' mighty name, receive! Yes, Lord. Jesus' mighty name, receive! Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Receive! Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You may think that this happened only to students who don't have a lot of dignities. Now we're going to have people who have dignity. How about Yoko, the owner of the restaurant? Yoko, come here. No, she doesn't have dignity. I'm just teasing her. Hallelujah. Yoko. Hallelujah. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Fire! Fire! Jesus' mighty name.
This is the
In the presence of God, I'd like to lay hand on Sheping. Sheping, come out here. Sheping was diagnosed as having cancer. I'm going to keep laying on hand on her. Kick the devil out of her. Place your hand up. In Jesus' mighty name, I command that the demon of cancer go away right now. Go! Right now! Right now, go away! Demon! She must live a long life. Go! Jesus' mighty name! Go! Right now, I say you live a long life. Cancer cannot take any precedent in this body. In Jesus' mighty name, heal! Hallelujah! Heal! Live a long life! Serve the Lord! Jesus is your healer, not doctor. Jesus is your healer, not any doctor. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah.
We trust this message has ministered to you. If you would like more information about New Hope International Church or other teaching series, please contact us at 206 275-1042 or visit our website online at www.newhopeinternationalchurch.org. You may also write to us at the following address: New Hope International Church, 9170 Southeast 64th Street, Mercer Island, Washington, 98040. Thank you very much,